preach, we preach a real message of victory. We talk and tell you regularly about who you are in Christ because, not of you, but because of me, but because of Jesus. But the flip side of that is, can I tell you something this morning? You were nothing without Christ. Listen to me. If you knew what you didn't have, you'd praise Him more than you and I do. The Bible says you and I, what the Scripture says, dead in sin, eternally separated from God, without hope, no Christ in the world. And God, the Bible says, when you and I were dead in our sins, He sent us a Savior. When you had no way of digging yourself out, or me, out of the hole I was in because of sin, because we're just born in this human race, we were born under Adam, the first man. The first man. But the Bible says what we're celebrating about 3 or 4 weeks from now, called Christmas, the birth of the Messiah, how the Christ came to this earth, humbled Himself, took on flesh, and died at the cross as a sinless God-man, so that you and I could be one with God. We could re-enter a father-son, a father-child relationship. Listen to me. The only way you and I are going to be successful in life isn't more money, isn't a new career path, isn't meeting the man or the woman you have in your life. It's surrendering our life on a day-by-day basis to the one, Jesus Christ. And what we do in here is a celebration of His praise. Amen? So come on, let's just lift our hands one more time. Father, we're just here to say thank You for Jesus. Come on, just tell Him that this morning. Thank You for Jesus. You might not know what all that means. Just thank You for Jesus this morning. Thank You for saving us. Thank You for delivering us. Thank You for redeeming us. Thank You that You called us. You blessed us. We magnify the power of God to change our lives. Even again today, we give You thanks. We give You thanks. In Jesus' name. Come on, everybody, say praise the Lord. Amen, amen, amen. Well, turn around, find somebody, shake their hand. Tell them it's good to see them at church. We welcome you to Spectrum this morning. We're so glad you're here. Praise the Lord.
Pastor Gary and Kimberly Isbell, I'd like to welcome you here to church this morning. What a good morning to be at church. If this is your first time here at Spectrum, we would love to acknowledge you and welcome you and give you a huge round of applause. So would you raise your hand if this is your first time with us? We would like to welcome you. Let's give them a big round of applause right over here. We are so glad that you are here this morning with us. Welcome to Spectrum Church. So what you just received is a white guest information card. If you would please take the time to fill that out before the end of the service, and then on your way out of service, go exchange it for a free gift outside those double doors at our event center, and we would love to just shake your hand and say hi to you. So once again, let's give them a big round of applause for their first time here at Spectrum Church. We're glad you're here. So I would like to remind you guys that we are having a string quartet from the San Diego Symphony coming here to Spectrum Church. It's going to be awesome. So it's going to be our big Christmas event. It's on the 15th at 7:30. Guess what? Tickets are only $8. It's $8 to come have the San Diego quartet San Diego Symphony Quartet here at Spectrum Church. So it's going to be a really, really fun night. It's $30 for families and $8 for individuals. So I encourage you guys, bring your family, your friends, your coworkers. It's a great way for them just to come and get to know who we are, so that they can realize how cool we really are, okay? It's going to be a really fun night, so I encourage you guys to come. Also, we're having a Christmas Eve service on the 24th, and it's going to be at 6 p.m. This is going to, Pastor's going to be preaching a great message, I know it. We're going to have some singing, and then we're also going to have a candlelit service. So it's going to be just a really good night, so I encourage you guys to bring your families. And lastly, Jabin Chavez is going to be with us again in January. He is an awesome young man, full of the life and the Spirit of God. I mean, he has just been traveling all over the world. I follow him on Facebook, and he is an awesome, just dynamic preacher. It's going to be great. So he'll be here on Sunday for the morning service and then an evening service. So I want to encourage you guys to come and bring your family and friends as well. Also, I didn't bring them up here, but we have invite cards. If you would like a quick and easy way to invite your family and friends to church, we have two really cool modern invite cards. So go stop by the event center on the way out and get those. Thanks.
Well, I just want to give a shout out to all the people. I would assume it's mainly ladies, because there's no way that the Christmas trees can look this good if men were actually involved. Can I say amen to all the ladies? We did have men? We had men involved? Really? Really? Wow. Maybe I'm just speaking for myself. What we do at Christmas is, my job is to buy the tree and stay out of the way. I stay out of the way. I get the ladder out and stuff like that, but then Kimberly and the girls, they do it all, and so they were actually kind of decorating our tree last night as I was watching football. Can I get an amen from all the men? Where's all my brothers in the room? Gosh, brothers, don't leave me hanging out here. Come on, brothers, help me out a little bit. Hey, I want to give just a, not a shout-out, but just something you can help me with this week. This week, a couple things are going on. I want you to just, for my benefit, my family, my son and his wife, Mary, are actually, my son, Michael, and daughter-in-law, Mary, are actually having a baby tomorrow. She's going to be induced. So she's going to be induced. Wow. I think she got the Holy Ghost. So you can just pray that all goes smooth. You know, I mean, when people get induced, I don't know that world, but some of you ladies, they're, you know, anyway, you can just pray that goes smooth. Amen. All right. She's going to be gone all week. Then on Tuesday, I'm flying down to Bogota, Colombia. Every year I go, and almost every year, I've been about 8 or 9 times now to see my buddy. And so I'm preaching down there at their minister's thing. So I'm gone all this week and then back, taking a red eye from Bogota back on Friday night, Saturday morning, to be with you next Sunday. So just be praying for me. Will you do that? Come on, any better amen. Would you do that? And listen, if you're going to pray, Lord, just bless the pastor. Can I tell you, just go ahead and eat some pancakes. Don't pray that. If you want to help me, get out your phone. Let me tell you what to pray for me. Get out a notepad. Let me tell you what you pray for me. Nobody's moving. Wow. Nobody's moving. You got. Thanks. I know, Larry, you always take notes. Here's what you pray for me. Pray Ephesians 1, 15 through 23. Pray Ephesians 3, 16 through whatever it is. End of the chapter. Pray Colossians 1, 9 through 12. Pray that I'd open my mouth boldly to speak the word of God. Ephesians 6, 19 and 20. Pray angels of God to surround me, Psalm 91. Would you do that? Come on, would you do that? Pray that the way I leave is the way I come back. Come on. I'm okay this morning. The way I come back is going to be okay. I covet your prayer. So if you can help us out as a family, that would be awesome. And pray that my kids don't kill themselves as in the same house while we're gone. Huh? No, I'm kidding. Just pray. Pray. We appreciate your prayers. We pray for you regularly. I pray those prayers for you regularly. And you would do me a great service by doing that. The great Apostle Paul actually said that. You know, he wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. And he told those churches, pray for me. Pray for me. How many of y'all know we all need prayer? And so I covet your prayers. Hey, just want to, again, thank everybody that connects with us, not only by your prayers, by your service, but also by your finances. What a great, great help you have been and continue to be to us. Through us, with our church, and helping people. Last week, because of your love and your financial contribution, We were able to bless about 45 families or so with Thanksgiving meals. Come on, give a shout out, everybody. Amen. You know that when you help people, it really blesses the Lord. It really blesses the Lord. Actually, you know, when you read the Bible, some people have kind of some interesting ideas or views about God that, you know, God's not raining money from heaven. You know, nobody that was hungry for a turkey dinner last week, turkeys weren't falling out of the skies. Canned goods were not falling out of the skies. No pumpkin pie, apple pie, stuffing, no casseroles came out of the sky. They came through people on the earth that were moved by God to be generous. And I'm talking to people this morning that you all are those kinds of people. So I just want to again say thank you for your open hearts and your ready minds and your active lifestyle in supporting kingdom causes, because that's really what's going on. We found out a couple weeks ago that from the book of Proverbs it says when you give to the poor, you lend to the Lord. And the Bible says the Lord will repay you back. Amazing. The Lord will pay you back. When I was a kid growing up, my dad, we never had a truck, and my dad always liked to go out and do yard work. Well, he kind of liked to do yard work, but I think that's why he had three boys. Come on, somebody. Because the boys did the yard work, you know what I'm saying? But he always wanted to have a truck, and so there was always guys in churches that have trucks. And so he'd ask guys if he could borrow their truck and go out to the farm and get cow manure. If you live in other places than, you know, where we live in a big city, there's places like that you can go. He'd get cow manure, he'd go buy shrubs, or he'd go buy rose bushes. That was his big deal, was rose bushes. And so every year he'd go, some would die, and he'd have to, you know, redo it all, and we would be the ones doing it. But he would always borrow somebody's truck. And he told me this. He said, Gary, he said, when I ever borrow someone's things, be it their truck, be it whatever, two things always happen. Number one, I always bring it back with a full tank of gas, regardless of what it was when I took it. If it's a half a tank, I don't put a half a tank back in. I put it full. And I always wash it and vacuum it and clean it completely. Whenever you borrow, whenever you give to God, God is going to pay you back. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Always. Come on, somebody say always.
Always.
Always. He sees what you do. He knows how to get you what you need when you need it. You just have to keep releasing what's in your hand. I just want to give a shout out again. Last week we had the youth group, Brittany, Tony, and all the guys that are helping them. Alan, Jasmine helped. Brandon Barola helped. Some others helped back there. But they had a crazy, you know, a bunch of junior high kids. There was over 30 kids back there in their junior high class. Come on, everybody. Praise. Come on, junior high, the number one age when kids leave church, junior high, number one age. Kids say, I'm not done this crazy stuff. I'd rather listen to Miley Cyrus or Cyrus, whatever. No. We had 30 kids back there. So come on, listen to me. Your giving is helping us continually reach another generation. Thank you. Come on, thank you. Come on, thank one another. Thank you, everybody. For your sacrifice, your giving. Always several different ways we want to make mention to you that you can give. You can give cash, check, money order. You can give online. Easiest way to do, go online. Go to spectrumchurch.org, hit the giving button. You can give online. It's pretty soon we hope to have that where you can actually have reoccurring giving. You know, I get paid on the first of the month. You know, some of you get paid first every week, whatever you do. You can set it up. We hope to get to that real soon. So we just want to make it simple for you to be a giver. Now, and I don't want to go too long here, but listen to me. I'll close here. When you give, you're not paying a bill. When you give, you must give with an action, and you must give with your mouth. Listen to me. You give with an action. I tithe. I give offerings above my tithe, but I've got to give with my mouth. In other words, I say this is not a waste. I say this is good seed going into good soil, and it will produce for me 30, 60, 100 fold. This seed will come back to me. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. My God supplies everything I need. I don't lack. God's my shepherd. I have everything I need. You got to sow with a deed, You got to sow with your mouth. Amen. Ready to give this morning? Father, we love you. Thank you for the ability that we can partner with you. And we're so grateful that you're so concerned with everything that we need. So, Father God, today, as we tithe and bring offerings to you, we say our needs are met according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. You'll make a way where there seems to be no way. Father God, you'll show up and show out and show forth your goodness even the last 4 weeks of this year. We trust you again today in Jesus' name. Come on, say amen, everybody. Here's some stuff coming up. Junior high kids, we're going to shake it up a little bit this morning. We're going to teach, continue our series as we have been last week, and then we're going to be having communion at the end of the service. Last week, we started a series called After This. Come on, everybody say that, would you? After This. Last week, for you that were with us, we looked at a Bible character by the name of Job. He's got a book in the Bible, has 42 chapters. We found out that Job went through some hell and high water, we could say. The Bible lists for about 40 chapters or so that Job was in a confrontation with the enemy. Job was a man who was following God and His will for his life, and the Bible says that he was attacked ferociously by the devil. In one day, he lost his sons, his daughters. He lost all his livelihood, his livestock, his camels, his cattle, his sheep. And actually, his kids were in the house, and the wind came like a tornado, fell down on the house, killed all his kids. It got to be, you know, to such a terrible place that his wife actually says, "Hey, Job, why don't you just go ahead and curse God and die?" Come on, somebody. It's pretty bad when your husband says, "It's over. Let's curse God and die. Let's go have a little rendezvous with Jack Daniels." Come on, everybody. How many know that's not a good place to be in? Can I get a better amen than that? Not a good place to be in. Go back to an old lifestyle. And so Job fought all that. And he actually had some friends that were pretty brutal friends. They kept telling Job and counseling Job. Their counsel was, "Hey, a couple things going on. Either one, you're in sin, you keep doing wrong things. Or number two, there's not a God like you think there is a God. The God you have is not a God of mercy, not a God. He's a God of judgment. And you're just receiving the judgment of God for something that you have done." Well, that went on for chapter after chapter. And we found out, you know, that we camped out just a little bit in chapter 42 when God actually comes to Job prior to that in chapter 40 and 41. And God just kind of sets Job straight. I don't know if you've ever had God encounter you through the Word or through the Spirit that you sensed in the heart that God just kind of corrected some things in your life. You know, maybe while I'm preaching sometimes, you kind of go, that might not be a wrong thought. That might not be a wrong teaching, which I hope it's never from here. I hope it's never from here, but maybe it's that you're just not hearing God or seeing God the way God wants you to see Him. And so correction is a part of our life. In fact, we'll be teaching a series in the new year including that. Just maybe some things that we hate. And one of the things we hate is correction. Well, Job is getting corrected by God on the way he thinks and the way he views God. And we come up to chapter 42, and it's an amazing chapter. God reveals Himself to Job, and Job says, "Man, what I heard about you is not real but true, but what I see with you right now, it is the truth. And Job's whole life gets restored, and we found out after this, after all the heartache, after all the loss, after all the disaster, God restored to Job double. Come on, somebody yell double.
Double.
Come on, help me out one more time. Say double.
Double.
He restored to him double. Come on. He restored to him double of what he lost. And the Bible then says that Job lived 140 years. So listen, there's life to live after this. No matter what you're going through this morning, there's life to live after this. Whatever you're dealing with, I'm encouraging you. And don't quit. Don't give up. There's more that God wants to do with your life. Today we're going to talk about another Old Testament Bible character by the name of Noah. Come on, somebody say Noah. Noah's got so much going on, he actually had a movie a couple months ago. So he must still be alive. He lived a long time, we'll talk about that. But our series, again, is after this, but really what I want to talk about is as we look at this scripture, key scripture, Genesis 9:28, look at this. It says, "And Noah lived after the flood 350 years. Come on, read that out loud, will you? "And Noah lived after the flood 350 years. Now our series is called After This, but today what I really want to do is I want to look, we will look after this, after the flood. We will look for that for a second. But what I really want to concentrate on this morning is what happens before the flood. Because I really believe that Job doesn't get a after this until he understands what happened before this. And so we're going to see this guy that is a phenomenal Bible character that I was pretty much raised in church all my life, or I guess I was. You know, most of the time I didn't pay attention, but I started paying attention when I was 20. And heard about Noah my whole life, but there's some amazing things as you read this story and find out what's going on behind the scenes and what happened in the middle of the scene and then what happened after the scene that caused this guy, this Bible character, to receive an after this, after the flood, he lived 350 years. Let's pick up the story in Matthew chapter 24, verse 36 through 39. Matthew 24, 36. Some people say, "I don't believe the story of Noah." Well, it's interesting that Jesus did. Notice what it says. "But of that day," Jesus is talking about a day at the end of the day, end of the age, end of time, when God is going to wrap everything up. "Of that day and hour, no one knows when God's coming back, when Jesus is coming back, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only." Jesus talking. "But as the days of Noah," come on, yell Noah. "As the days of Noah were, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying, and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark and didn't know that the flood came and took them all away. And so will be the coming of the Son of Man." Jesus alludes to the fact that just like in Noah's day when all of a sudden the rains came down and the earth, the Bible actually says, broke up. So rain came down and floods came up from the center of the earth and destroyed the earth. Jesus says no one knew, no one could figure out the exact time, but it happened. And so that's what's going to happen at the end of age. Even the Apostle Peter mentions Noah and the flood in his book in 2 Peter. We find out, if you do a little study, you'll find out that every Eastern culture mentions this person and mentions the flood. They don't maybe call him Noah, but they mention this. It's all in their history. So it's several chapters. We haven't got to take time to read it all this morning. Maybe you can do that, chapter 6, 7, 8, 9, and a couple more after that. But let's see two things that God did, and let's see two things that Noah did in setting the table this morning. Look with me, if you will, to Genesis 6, 7, and write down, maybe you note takers, God gave the word. Come on, God gave the word. In Genesis 6, verse 7, it says this, "So the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping thing and birds of the air, for I am sorry that I have made them." Amazing. God comes to Noah and he tells him, this is exactly what I'm going to do. Now, if you read chapter 6, the earth was in a horrific place. the earth, man was in a whole sexual deviant place away from God. There was crazy things going on in mankind. And really, we find God says, I'm done. My long suffering, my patience with man is over. I'm going to destroy everything. Every man, every beast. And he tells Noah exactly what he's going to do. And so, just by the way, you know, just by the way that God gave the word, that you can hang your hat on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. I don't care if you think it's going to happen or it's not going to happen. People are talking about, is God ever going to come back? Is Jesus ever going to come back? Is there ever going to be a new heaven and new earth? Baby, listen, you can bet your bottom dollar this thing is going to work out just the way the Bible says. It is going to be. Maybe not the way you think it, maybe not the way I think it, but listen, it is going to happen just the way God said it and just the way His timing is. The Bible says that no word from God is void of power. It will accomplish in the purpose that He sends it. Listen to me, God is going to do exactly what He said in His plan in the Word of God. I love what this preacher said, Mike Murdoch. He said this, when I quote God, I'm never wrong. Come on, somebody say that, make the devil nervous, will you? When I quote God, I'm never wrong. I'm never wrong. The Bible says the Word of God is living and powerful. Hebrews 4:12 says that. The Word of God is living, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. It's living, it's powerful. God gave Noah His Word, and that Word was and is going to come to pass. So listen, whatever you're dealing with right now, whatever it looks like is in your life before something actually turns, God will always give you a word to hang your hat on. God will always give you what I call fighting words to get you through this season. He'll always do it. If you'll read His Word on a regular basis, if you'll be sensitive to His speaking and His leading, He will always bring you back to a word that will keep you in the season that you're in. If you're going through difficulty, if you're going through challenges, there's a word that God will speak to you. We have time after time, God did it to the men and the women in the Bible, and you're no difference. Come on, somebody say, God gave the Word. Second thing that God did, God extended grace. God extended grace. It says in Genesis 6:8, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. He found grace. Of course, grace means unmerited, unearned, undeserved favor. We found out that grace actually means favor. We can translate that Old Testament word into a New Testament word for favor as well. And so grace, listen, it's God, grace, people have some miscommunication or have received miscommunication and wrong ideas about what grace really is. It is simply unmerited, unearned, undeserved favor. But that doesn't mean you don't cooperate with it. You must cooperate. It doesn't mean you sit back and do nothing and just let God do whatever. No, there's got to be an action on your part. There's nothing you can do to be saved yourself. There's an action on your part. You got to believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that God raised Jesus from the dead. Come on, everybody. Then when you do that, all grace will abound toward you concerning salvation. It's the same way. That principle is the same way in every other area of your life. Grace means favor. It's God doing things for you because of Him, not because of you. Come on, everybody. He is doing things for you based on His goodness, based on His generosity, based on His love, based on His compassion, based on His mercy. Has nothing to do with you, but you must cooperate with that. I must as well. The Bible says that Noah found grace. So evidently Noah was cooperating with the grace of God, but he found grace, found the grace of God working in his life. So we've said this before, but there's a great scripture in Luke chapter 2, verse 52. If you don't know it, write it down. It speaks of Jesus in Luke 2, 52. It says, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature, in favor with God and favor with man. Notice that. Jesus increased. So no matter what level of favor, no matter what level you have in your life of wisdom, no matter what level, it says that He grew in stature, physically grew. But the stature, I look at that, the spiritual growth in our life. No matter what you're at, you and I can grow. Come on, everybody, we can grow. We can move forward. We can know more of the Word of God. We can be better at prayer and cooperating with the things of God. We can know more about how to serve and how to live our life that would be pleasing to God. It says Jesus Christ Himself grew. He grew. He increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor. Jesus increased in favor. He grew in favor, listen, with God and also with people. So my people skills can grow. Come on, everybody. My serving skills can grow. My doing what God's called me can grow. They can increase, and they will increase consistently when I understand it's not just about me, but the grace of God that's been extended to me. God extended grace to Noah. A couple things Noah did. Look on the screen. Noah lived right. Come on, read those words, will you? Noah lived right. Now again, this morning, it's really interesting. We're living in a generation that thinks we can do whatever we want to do, whenever we want to do it, and God just says, okay. 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 Do you know that there are things that my children, there is nothing they could ever do. There is nothing they could ever do to stop me from loving them. But do you know there's a ton of things they could do that would stop me blessing them? Listen again. There is nothing in my life that would ever keep me from stop loving my children. But can I tell you today, if my children, which I have four, if my children all of a sudden started taking the money that I was giving them as a loving father, and they started taking the $500 a month I was giving them, and they weren't using it for their schooling, to pay their car, to pay their insurance, to pay their clothing, for living expenses, if they were doing, not using it for a proper good, but then were using it to go out and buy drugs, to go whoring around, pardon me, to go hurting people, do you know what I would do as a loving Heavenly Father? I would back off my blessing. Because your lifestyle is hurting you, and I see it. And so God says, listen to me. God says, Noah lived right. And if you read the Bible, hear me. The brother lived 969 years. That's a long time to live right. Come on, somebody. How long have you been living right? Oh, about a day now, you know. Come on. Come on, somebody. 969 years. Read it. Genesis 6:9. This is the genealogy of Noah. Here's the genealogy, and here's what it lists. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generations. Perfect. Come on, somebody say perfect. Wow. Noah walked with God. Maybe you want to circle that in your Bible. Maybe you want to highlight that scripture in your phone. Noah walked with God. God said he walked blameless. God said he walked with integrity. So your lifestyle matters. Listen to me. Your lifestyle matters. Your lifestyle matters. All New Testament writers talk about this with your family. Your lifestyle matters as you as a husband, how you treat your wife. Your lifestyle matters. You as a wife, how you respect your husband. Your lifestyle matters. How you as an employer, how you serve the employee, how you as the employee serve the employer. Your lifestyle matters, how you respect authority. Don't be mocking or don't be looking at what's going on in Ferguson and says you can get away with it. You can do that, and God will just wink his eye at you and say, well, you know it's racial tension. You better shut it down. You better live according to what the Word says. I'm not saying what's going on is right. I'm not trying to get in all that stuff. I'm just saying, stick with the Word. Your lifestyle matters. Come on, everybody. It matters. Your sexuality matters. You can't be committing adultery. You can't be committing fornication. You can't have same sex relations, and God says everything's okay. God says it matters. Noah lived right. He lived right. Ephesians 1:4 says this, speaking of now who you are in Christ, that God now chose you. He chose you in Him. Before the foundation of the world. Isn't that interesting? Before you were even born. Before the foundation of the world came. Before this story we're talking about with Noah came. God chose you. He chose you. He knew you. He had a plan for you. He said that you should be holy. Holy. And without blame. Before Him in love. God looks at you and He looks at my life. And He says, I see you as holy. I see you as righteous. I see you as pure before me. So if God sees that for us, listen to me, it's possible that we live that way. Come on, everybody. It's possible. It's possible. Come on, say it again. Noah lived right. Noah didn't only just live right. Number four, Noah did right. Noah did right. He did right. Notice what it says in Genesis 6:22. Thus Noah did. We'll talk about that, what he did. According to all that God commanded him, so he did. I love the Bible. The Bible says he did, and so he did. Come on, somebody. God's just saying, listen, if you didn't get the first time, I'm going to say it to you again. Right? I'm so glad God repeats himself. Notice that. So, thus Noah did, according to all that God commanded him, so he did. So he did. So he did. So your what you do is extremely important. Your lifestyle is important. But Noah did some things. God gave Noah, it's an amazing when you read it, and again, I encourage you to read it this week. God gave Noah the dimensions for the ark's construction, and it's interesting, the Bible says Noah built it exactly like God said. I struggle with this, because I was a kid when my dad would go away. My dad traveled all when we were kids growing up, and he worked for the same company for 37 years, and he was in a position of management, so he'd travel about every 4 weeks or so, and he'd be gone for 3 or 4 days. And when he came back, he'd bring me and my brothers. He'd always bring us back something, or try to. And he would bring us back when we were, you know, younger kids. Some of you guys can relate, those boxes that you put together the car, the model car. And you just had to buy a little glue, and you had to follow the instructions, and you had to you'd make the car. And my older brother was really a nerd, and he was, you know, he was 4.0 in college, and in a valedictorian, real cerebral. He works now in computers, you know, he just figures it all out, you know what I mean? He's just a genius. And so he'd sit down, and he'd get his little papers, and he'd sit, and he'd start reading the papers, and, you know, I'm just not wired that way. I'm breaking open the box, and I'm gluing what looks like it should be glued together. Come on, somebody. It looks like the wheel goes here. It looks like the engine fits here. Glue, 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 glue. And then pretty soon at the end, how many of you know, there's always parts left over. I'm sure glad that God didn't do that. And I'm sure glad Noah didn't say, you know, God, this dimensions of the boat, this 3 football fields long boat, I don't think so. No, let's just make it one. And it's a little bit too deep that you can't put hundreds and hundreds of box cars in it. That's how big it was. No. We're going to need to make it a little narrower. It's just a little bit too taxing on me to build it the way you want it to be built. So let me do it the way I want to do it. Let me build my life. Don't talk to me about my money. Don't talk to me about my marriage. Don't talk to me about my sexuality. Don't talk to me about my anger. Don't talk to me about my lust. Don't talk to me about my little thing online. Don't talk to me. And God says, then you're building your life, and here's what you're going to get. A flood's coming. Listen to me. I prophesy to you today. Hear me. Floods always come. Floods come. Trouble in marriage. Trouble in economy. Trouble in jobs. Trouble with kids. All the time. But if you do not build your life according to the dimensions of the Word, your boat sinks. No bad God, no big devil, bad idiot right here. You didn't do what it said to do. Like my son says, you big dummy. You big dummy. Praise the Lord for church. Hallelujah today. Come on, help me this morning. Praise the Lord, help me this morning. We doing all right? Oh, it was you, they did that, and they did that. Well, what'd you do? Well, you know, I got drunk, and I hit the train, and well, you big dummy. Come on, look at your neighbor. Let that freedom come. Just say, you big dummy. Come on, just say, you big dummy. Don't be sensitive. We're all on the same page, right? Come on. Come on, we all got a little dummy in us, don't we, huh? We're trying to get the dummy out. Get the dummy out. God gave him the dimensions and the brother built. God told him exactly what he was going to do. He said floodwater was going to come out on all the earth, going to kill all living things. The brother believed God. this supernatural thing happened. It really doesn't tell us how it happened, but we're definitely going to check out the Netflix in heaven. Come on, everybody. How did all them animals get in the boat? How did they do it? There was a supernatural thing that goes on. When you build your life, when you build before the flood what God tells you to build, God allows something supernatural to happen. Animals start coming. I don't think Noah was going, and all of a sudden, you know, apes came, or, and, come on, I don't know what animal that was, but you know what I'm saying? I don't know what that one was either. That's all I got. I just got a couple of them. Come on. He wasn't barking like a chihuahua when all the chihuahuas came. Come on. I don't know what happened, but they all came in the boat. Something supernatural happened. Now, when you read about kind of the backstory about what was going on, too, is that it took him decades to build the boat. We'll talk about that in a minute. Decades. The Bible talks about, you know, that when he preached, Peter says, calls Noah a preacher of righteousness. Do you know that he preached for all those years? He lived 350 years after the flood. We don't know exactly when he started building, but he started building, I think, in his 600th year or so, that Noah was preaching for all the years he was building the boat, and after he, I'm sure, before that, before he was building, being used by God to preach and share what he knew about God. And do you know that no one responded? Noah passed out tracts and no one responded. Noah invited people to the Christmas concert and no one responded. He said, well, if you don't want to come to the Christmas concert, I know it's $8. I know it's family of 30, for $30 for a family, but come to our free event on December 24th. No. Well, we got a kid named Jabin Chavez coming. He's going to preach the house down on January 11th. No. He did it for decade after decade, and he didn't get turned off. He kept preaching. He kept preaching. Noah did right. Can I tell you something? If you haven't figured it out already, come on, let me, you know, tell the truth and shame the devil. Is that your life is going to be dotted with disappointments. Your life is going to be dotted with disappointments. There's going to be things in your life you can't figure out. There's going to be people in your life that come and they leave. There's people, like someone said, there's people that are going to come to your life for a reason, for a season, and forever. You've got to be okay with that. You've got to be okay. You've got to be okay when God gives you a word and you can't figure out how it's going to come to pass, and you just got to say, God, I don't know, but I'm standing here and I'm going to keep building my ark. I don't know why this is happening. I don't know why I feel like I'm in this situation. I don't know really what's going on. I don't know how come a flood's coming. I sense something's changing on the inside of me. Listen, your life will be filled and dotted with disappointments. But I don't know if you've ever played that game called Connect the Dots. I don't know if you've ever had that little sheet of paper like our kids when we got them before they started really learning how to color. And we say, take it and move it from here to number 2 to number 3 to number 4. And they connect it all and it turns into a beautiful picture. Can I tell you that God will connect your dots for you? He will turn what you're going through and what's happening in your life into something beautiful. He did it for Noah. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7. Notice what the New Testament writer says about this. He lists Noah in these heroes of faith. Notice what it says. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. So really, when you break down this scripture, it says several things. It says that his boat building itself was a tool that God used to condemn the world. His boat building. The long time that he actually built his boat was a tool that God used to speak judgment to the world. So that tells me that on a daily basis, who you are, your lifestyle, and what you do either does one of two things. Either causes people to look at your life and go, praise the Lord, or causes people to look at your life and curse God. And both of those things should be happening. Should be happening. He condemned the world by his boat building, by his affection and love and devotion to the things of God. He didn't hang around to boys and drinking, you know, martinis after Friday night working hard. He didn't go to them certain places. He stayed away from all the stuff and just kept staying focused with what God told him to do. Man, brother's my hero. He's my hero. Don't let your lifestyle be a non-issue. Listen, don't let your lifestyle result in being a non-issue. The scripture says in the book of Revelation, one of the churches that Jesus told John to write about, he said this, I wish that you were either hot or cold, but somebody help me with the rest of it. But because you're what? What's going to happen? I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. So he says, I wish you were either hot, or even if you're cold, I can work with you if you're cold. But if you're lukewarm, if you think you got it all together, I got nothing to work with. Your lifestyle, my lifestyle, matters in the world and the age in which we're living in. Shipbuilders have told us, in what I've read, is that the exact dimensions that God gave Noah to build the ark were really perfect dimensions in modern-day shipbuilding to withstand incredible storms. I want to come back to this just for a second, is that God will constantly speak to you. There are seasons in your life. Years and years ago, this is probably 1998. In 1998, we were living and pastoring our church in Canada and had the privilege of coming down here to northern L.A., to Van Nuys, to Jack Hafer. I don't know if you heard of him, but he's a great, great man, hooked up with the Four Square Church, and he had a conference going on for all week for like 30 pastors. He does it all the time, and I just happened to be able to go to one at this one particular time. And so you have one-on-one with a man of that magnitude. It was just amazing. So I asked him a question one time. I said, Pastor Jack, there's seasons in my life where it seems like, for me, there was a season in my life for years that I would get up at 4 o'clock every morning. I'd pray from 4 o'clock till 7 o'clock every morning for years. And then I said, I feel like I've almost backslid. I don't sense I need to do that now. I'm not supposed to do that right now. And I said, what's kind of going on? And he said, God is just changing your season. You don't get condemned. You don't stand under judgment. You don't feel bad about yourself. Obey the voice of the Holy Spirit. Are you praying? Yeah. Are you reading the Word? Yeah. Are you serving? Yeah. Then allow God to lead you. Don't let serving God be a thing that you do like it's robotic. Don't let God speak to you. Now, with it, don't let yourself off the hook. Come on. Anybody besides me on Thursday and Friday, I let myself off the hook eating. Come on, somebody. Can I get an amen? Amen. Come on. Any true people in the church today? I ate till I couldn't eat no more and I ate again. How many know if you keep doing that, that ain't good? Follow God. Let God speak to you. The Bible says that this boat that Noah built actually saved his family. So what you do or don't do determines to a great extent what happens in your family. What you do in this room as adults, parents, grandparents, you have responsibility. Hopefully you have a relationship with your kids still, with your grandkids growing. Don't let it go. Stay close to them. I will be the crazy. My name is going to be G-Pop. Tony and Brittany have a little 6-year-old Isabella. She comes over to the house. Brittany's pregnant now, so in July we'll have another grandchild. And so Isabella comes over to the house. I hide. I want her to find me. She hides now on me. We play games together, crazy games. I ride outside with her. I dance with her crazy around the house. I grab her and kiss her constantly. Why? I want to love her and have influence in her life for all of her life. I'll do that with all my grandkids. I'll give them everything I can, just like I've done with my own kids. Why? I want them blessed. I want them successful. Why? I'm building an ark to save my family. Some of you were raised in families that they built an ark for a while, and then they kicked you out in a rowboat. Face the storms yourself. That's okay, a little bit. But the analogy is not. Listen to me. Stay on the ark and everybody gets saved. Believe God for your family. Believe God for your kids and your grandkids. Come on, believe God. Pray for them. Speak the word over them. Don't let them go. Don't let them go. Noah heard from God, got the dimensions from God on how to build this boat. I think, again, it's very important that all of us hear God specifically about what you want me to do and how to build my life and how to build my family. Noah couldn't go to boat building school. There was no little, you know, boat building for dummies book. Come on, somebody. He had to hear from God. So, by the way, quit looking for approval from everybody else about what to do. Would you just look to God? Come on, tell your neighbor, just look to God. Would you do that? Just look to God. Just tell him, look to God. Let God speak to you. God's going to tell you exactly what to do with your life, with your family. Thank God. Now listen, you can't work for your salvation. You can't work for your salvation, but you work from your salvation. You don't work to be right with God. You work because you are right with God. So God requires you to work for Him. Your family will not be saved unless you work with God, work with the Word of God, pray for them. Your life won't matter and won't mean a hill of beans at the end of your life unless you follow the Scriptures and following God's will for your life. Somebody said this, what you do today matters tomorrow. Have you found that out? What you do today matters tomorrow. Yeah, it does. I read this on Twitter. I thought it was a pretty humorous kind of quote. Look at it. You cannot procrastinate. In 2 days, tomorrow will be yesterday. Stare that down. Read that a couple times. Come on, shake your head a little bit. Get that. You cannot procrastinate. In 2 days, tomorrow will be yesterday. So how I build my life, how I pray, how I serve, how I love my wife, how I give, what I do today is going to determine what happens tomorrow. And so Noah found out that Noah got the word from God. And what we pick up in the Scriptures that Noah just got to building. He got to building. And you know, there's all kinds of, we don't know exactly the timeline, but from the best we can assume is that it took Noah between 40 to 75 years or so to build that ark. Listen, 40 to 75 years he built the ark for a storm that lasted a little over a year. Now, I don't know what the dimensions are. You know, I'm not the greatest at math, so some of you guys can probably figure it out. For a storm that lasted about a year and a month, and it took Noah, let's say, 75 years to build it, what that equation would equal if you said, what I got to do for a week, how long will it bless me in return? What's the dimension? What's the factor? All I'm telling you to do, if you do nothing today, your tomorrows will be filled with nothing. And God is constantly challenging us to do something with our life. And the brother built for 40 to 75 years for a storm that was just a year. It was a hellacious storm. It was 40 days of hell, but then it was rest. It was rest for a while. And I just think that we just don't do what we're supposed to do. I don't think we cooperate with God enough to cooperate with Him. And I'm pleading with you this morning. This is all the stuff that Noah did before the flood, so that when the flood came, he got it after this. He got it after the flood. After the flood. Genesis 7:16 says this. When the water was breaking, flying around, and animals were in, and the Lord shut him in. Come on, say those words with me. And the Lord shut him in. In other words, God closed the door. He shut him in when the rain started. Can I just encourage you? When God shuts the door, would you just leave the door shut? Come on, would you just leave the door shut? The door shut relationally. She ain't calling you no more. Would you shut the door? They said no to the job. They're not hiring you. Would you just shut the door and not get all worked up about it unless you know that is my job? Unless you know? But would you just say if the door's shut, God's got another door. Come on, everybody. God's got another door. God's for me. He's going to work it out for me. After the flood, Genesis 8. Floods came, waters dropping a little bit, Genesis 8, 7 through 12. Then Noah sent out a raven, which kept going to and fro until the waters had dried from the earth. He also sent out from himself a dove. Come on, somebody say, from himself. To see if the waters had receded from the face of the ground. But the dove found no resting place for the sole of her foot, and she returned to the ark to him, and the waters were on the face of the whole earth. So he put out his hand and took her in. Who'd he take in? The dove. Took her in. And he drew her into the ark to himself, and he waited yet another 7 days. And again he sent out the dove from the ark, and the dove came to him in the evening, and behold, a freshly plucked olive leaf was in her mouth. And Noah knew that the waters had receded from the earth. So he waited another 7 days and sent out the dove, which did not return again to him anymore. First bird he sent out was a raven or a crow. And from reading, I'm not a Hebrew scholar, but I've read several scholars, what they say about verse 7, that the raven doesn't find a landing spot. The raven is not a seabird, not like a gull out here that we see, or some of these seabirds that will sit out and bob in the water. Raven won't do that. The raven flew around, and the raven didn't find any resting place, so the raven actually came back. But the Bible does not say the raven came back to Noah. The raven came back, it seems, to the ark somewhere, but it did not come back to the man, Noah. Almost like the raven leaves. The raven has been saved from disaster. But the raven says, I got this all figured out. The raven says, I'm free now. The raven says, I can do my own thing. The raven says, I don't need Noah. Just like so many of us, including me. God, we got this all figured out now. God, this is okay. Let me take it from here. The raven did not come back to Noah. Noah sends out a dove. Come on, somebody. Anybody know what the dove is like? Holy Spirit. Sends out a dove. 7 days goes out, you know, doesn't find a resting place, comes back. Comes back to the ark. In fact, the Bible says the dove came back to Noah's hand and he took the dove back in. The dove came back home. Sends the dove out again 7 days later, and the dove finds and brings back an olive leaf. Olive leaf is always symbolic of peace. Peace. Sends the dove out the last time, the dove doesn't come back. But when the dove comes back and brings peace, listen to me, it actually says this, the dove found no resting place at first. But when the dove finds a resting place, the dove brings back a symbol of that resting place, which is an olive leaf representing peace. Listen to me. Do not get off your ark until you have a resting place and peace. So many people miss God. Not because it's God, and not because the situation is so enormous, but because there is no rest in themselves, and there is no peace. If you have no rest and no peace, do not proceed. Do not leave your ark. Do not date that guy. Do not see that girl. Do not respond to that text. Do not send that email. Do not take that job. Do not buy that house if you have no rest and no peace. And by all means, listen to me, don't follow a raven. A raven will always lead you to something dead. Ravens are carrion feeders. They're never going to bring you life. Some of you got raven friends. You need to leave them. You're in raven situations. You need to stop it. Because all that is coming in your life is death and heartache and pain and sorrow. You need to cut it off and you need to quit building them because their ark is not going where your ark's going. I'm sure we're going to receive communion just next couple minutes. Guys, once you get up and help us back there, all the ushers are going to help us. We're going to receive communion just the next couple minutes. I'm sure, let's just read this real quick. Let's wrap this up. Genesis 8:20. After Noah got off that ark, off that boat, notice what it says he did. Noah built an altar to the Lord, and he took of every clean animal and every clean bird and offered the burnt offerings on the altar. Noah, guys, listen to me. After the ark, Noah decided to be a worshiper. He built an altar, he sacrificed to God. Listen to me, what's amazing to me about this story, if you read it, I don't want to rock your world, but read it because you'll figure out, because you guys are brilliant. But there wasn't just two of every kind of animal. There just wasn't a male and a female of every kind. The Bible says there was actually more. Read it. Certain animals, there was seven pair. Read the Bible. It'll do you good. But it's interesting that he saved all these animals, and when he got off, he built an altar, and he worshiped God, and guess what he did? He offered to God some of the animals that he saved. Symbolically, guys, he kept them alive so he could offer them to God. What's that say to us? There's some things of my life, listen to me, called my tithe, called my offerings, and called my serving that does not belong to me but belongs to Him. What I save in building my life isn't just for me. It's so that I can save it so I can worship God with it. First day of the week, we're in church. First day of the week isn't Monday. It's Sunday. So what you have decided to do today, I applaud you, and I applaud you every Sunday that you come to church on this day. It doesn't mean coming on a Saturday night. If we had a Saturday night service, was any different. But it's amazing on this day that the first day of the week, the first part of the hours of the day, we've come to worship God. I think that pleases God by your sacrifice. Your giving, as we bring our tithes to God, what we're doing is saying, I've saved this. I've gone through the waters. I've gone through the flood. I've built an ark called a net worth, whatever that is. And I've come to worship you and to say to you, I believe you got me through the flood. And after this, when another flood comes, I believe you're going to be faithful again. The Bible says that God did something with this offering. Verse 21, the Lord smelled a soothing aroma. And the Lord said in His heart, I'll never again curse the ground for man's sake, although the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth, nor will I again destroy every living thing as I've done. God said it's a soothing aroma. Amazing analogy, amazing imagery Paul uses in Philippians 4, again, for this very same thing concerning our giving. Where he told that church in the Philippians, in Philippi, he said, you've given once and you've given again. And now my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And he talks to them about what this giving is to God. That God says it's a sweet aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. God says your giving is like a fragrant smell in my nostrils. Just like He did to Noah. And God gave him a sign. Come on, somebody. God gave Noah a sign. The rainbow. And he said, I'm never going to flood the earth again. God will always give you a sign while you're building your ark, while you're building your life. Even though all the relationships were gone that Noah knew, it had to be emotionally heart-rendering. Men and women in our church that have served in the military, and it's happened, the people close to them are lost in Afghanistan or Iraq. It has to be emotionally wrecking. Everything changed. Noah's in a new place. All that's left is his family. But can I tell you something? His God is still the same. His God's still the same. You might find yourself today in a real chaotic place. You might find yourself in a place that's that you don't know exactly how everything's going to turn around, how it's going to turn out. I'm here to tell you, God will work for you. If you do what you need to do before the flood, it says after the flood, Noah lived 350 years. If you'll do, and you'll pray, and you'll seek God, you'll allow your heart to be plowed, God, after the flood, will give you an after this. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. We're going to receive communion. Guys, go ahead and pass it out. Once you just, as the emblems are passed out, we'll all partake together today. If you're here and you've never received communion with us before, we welcome you to receive communion with us. You don't have to be a member of our church. We're just so glad that you're here. The Bible says when you get this bread, symbolic of the blood, the body of Jesus, and the juice, symbolic of the blood of Jesus, it says to examine yourself, examine your life. How are you in your relationship with God? How's your love walk with your family, your friends, your co-workers, the people you work with? The areas of your life you need to repent, you need to change your mind and change your direction. You can do that right there in your seat. You say, God, I need your help. I need your help. I believe in Jesus. I believe in the power of God. I believe in the resurrection. We sang it this morning. I believe there's a heaven. I believe there's a hell. God, I want you today. I'm reaching out to you today for your forgiveness and your mercy, your generosity and your grace. Come on, while you receive them, the emblems, just bow your head. Just take 30 seconds just to you and God. It's just you and Him in that circle. Father, talk to me today. I need you. I want to build my life. I want to help me build an ark. I'm a single person. Help me build an ark. Keep me pure. I'm a married person. Help me build an ark for me and my family, oh God, according to your word, the dimensions you've given us. Give us the word, oh God. Lead us according to your word. Help us not waste time, Father. So precious. Noah got busy and built an ark. Help us get busy building what you called us to build. Help us get busy serving in our church and serving in our community. Help us not get discouraged. Decade after decade, Noah had no results of people turning to you. We know that's not what it's supposed to be in our life, but Father, just help us rid our lives from discouragement, disappointment, all shame, all guilt, all inferiority, all condemnation. Come against today. It's ratified. It's rectified by the blood of Jesus. It's wiped away. You receive us. You're our Father. Right there, bow your heads, close your eyes. Maybe you're here and you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life. Maybe you've never been to our church before. Maybe you've been several times, but you've never made a profession. I want Jesus in my life. I need Him. I want Him. Noah did something and cooperated with God, and so your cooperation with God is imperative for you to receive new life. It's offered freely, but you've got to receive it. So right there while you're sitting, you'll just say, in fact, everybody just repeat this prayer with me. You that are Jesus followers and you that I believe will follow Him today, repeat this with me and mean it with your heart. That means just agree with it with your heart, everything in you. Say this, dear Father, I come to you right now and I ask you to be my Father. I believe today in your Son, Jesus Christ. I'm asking today, Jesus, be my Lord and Savior. I repent. I change my mind. I change my direction. I want my life to matter for you. In Jesus' name. Look at me, everybody. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, you prayed it maybe in what we call rededicating your life. After the service, we're going to have prayer partners. We just call them prayer partners, people that would love to pray with you, help you, and
encourage you. They'll be right up here, four, five, or six of them. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, or maybe it's you followed Jesus as a young child, and you've grown cold. Maybe it's a week, maybe it's a year, maybe it's a decade. If you prayed that prayer, please leave your chair. I know it's kind of weird. I've been there. But make yourself leave the chair when we stand up in the next 5 minutes, 3 minutes. Come up here. Talk to one of these people. We got a free book we want to give to you. We just want to get your name and a telephone number and just tell you we love you. We're praying for you. We're in your corner. We're here to help you. We want to be like the Walmart greeter in your life. Come on, everybody. Hey, it's good to see you. Come on. It's an amazing thing that we're going to do right now in the next couple seconds. The Bible says that before Jesus went to the cross, he got his close people there with him, his disciples. He broke bread, he took wine, took the juice. He said, this is my body. This is my blood. It's getting ready to be spilled. It's getting ready to be taken. For forgiveness, for healing, for deliverance for mankind. Jesus was getting ready to experience a flood. A flood. What he did before the flood mattered, so he got an after the flood. But listen, that's really the sub part. The amazing part is what Jesus did before the flood of the crucifixion, before the flood of paying the penalty for sins, was not just for him, but for you and me. We get to enjoy an after this. This recognizes and symbolizes, I'm not my own Savior. I'm not my own. I can't make it without God. I believe in the body of Christ. I believe in the power of the blood. I believe as I take communion today, my life is being built on the rock. I believe all good things are coming to me. I believe the power of the Word is working in me. Help me build my ark, oh God. My body, my mind, my will, my emotions are joined with yours. Work in me, oh God. Work in me. Come on, hold up the bread. Father, we thank you for the body of Christ, crucified, beaten, marred, so we can be free. We receive healing. We receive strength. We receive our body being connected with other people in the church, the body of Christ at large, to do what you called us to do. We thank you for it today, in Jesus' name. Come on, partake, everybody. Come on, hold up the juice, symbolic of the blood, of the wine, and symbolic of the blood of Jesus. It's an amazing thing when Jesus was hanging on the cross. The Bible says, you know, they wouldn't let it, those three that were crucified together, they wouldn't let them stay on the cross at night. Passover. So they came to the two on either side of Jesus and they broke their legs and they couldn't push up. They tried to stay awake because their lungs would collapse on the cross and they'd asphyxiate. Lungs would fill up with water and they'd choke to death. They came to Jesus, didn't break his bones, didn't break his legs, because he was already gone. He was already gone. It's an amazing thing because the Bible says in the book of Psalms, prophecy, that not one of Jesus' bones was broken. Can I tell you something? The Word of God is always right. This here might seem minimal, might seem inconsequential to you and me. This represents, we're remembering, the blood of Jesus has got the power to forgive me of all my sin. Come on, say this with me. I am redeemed. Amazing. Amazing. My life was worthless, like a thrown away plastic bottle. Jesus says, I can take that bottle and I can make it again into something beautiful. And I can put purpose back in that Bible. I can repurpose that bottle for something beautiful. The blood of Jesus will do that for all of us. Amen. Let's partake together in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Man, what a great, great day. Wow, 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 wow.
If you take your cups and pass them down to the aisle, our ushers over there will be able to get all those. They'll take your cups. Praise the Lord. Come on. I believe for the rest of the year, you're getting ready to experience an after this. Come on, everybody. An after this. Come on, somebody say that. After this. After this. Come on, tell somebody, after this, I'm going to live. Come on, tell them that. After this, I'm going to live. The flood's not... Come on, I'm not going to stay in the flood. After this, I'm going to live. Prayer partners, come up here and stand up here with me. Will you do that? Congregation, stand up one more time. So grateful for you. Thank you for being with us today. I thank you. We covet your prayers this week for our little granddaughter going to be born, Madison Rose. We're excited for her. And just thank you for praying for me as I'm gone to Bogota this week. I really, really, really covet your prayers. And thank you, thank you, thank you. Said a moment ago, and we'll leave. We'll end with this. Number one, if you need prayer for anything, let our prayer partners pray for you. You're sick in your body. You got something going on. You got a crazy work schedule. You just found out you're in a flood today. You got the email. You got the text. Thanksgiving, a flood came, a financial flood, a family flood. Don't stay in your flood by yourself. We want to get in your ark and help you. We want to help you. Allow us to pray for you. You said a moment ago, if you're here and you've not made Jesus the Lord of your life, or maybe you're away from Him, you say, I want to get right back on track today. We're here to help you pray. We've got a free book we'd like to give to you. Don't leave the same way you came if you need somebody to pray. Amen? We bless you. We love you. Next week, we're going to continue our series talking about after this. We've got another great Bible character we're going to look at. And we're just going to get injected with hope and faith that if God be for us, come on somebody, who can be against us? I like to say it this way. Come on, I got a little bit of redneck in me. But if God be for us, who in hell can be against us? Nobody. Not hell, not anybody on earth. God's for you. Come on, you're a winner. You're a winner this week. Come on. We love you. God bless you. Have a great Sunday. Amen.